In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. A little story I want to share about a man named Leo Buscaglia. Leo was an author and professor at USC in Los Angeles, and he was famous in academic circles for his books on loving generously and purposefully in a broken and sometimes pain-filled world. Now, Professor Leo was raised during the Great Depression in the 1930s, and as could be expected, growing up in those circumstances definitely impacted his worldview, that the brokenness and the pain in life can sometimes be very present and very real. But there was a particular event from his childhood that also instilled in little Leo that truth, that genuine love and genuine joy can triumph even in the midst of the greatest of pain. Leo's father had a business and a business partner. And in spite of the depressed economy, they were doing okay. Until one day, middle of the day, Leo's dad comes home just devastated. His business partner, whether in fear or greed or who knows what, had emptied their bank accounts and absconded with all their assets, leaving Leo's family destitute and the business in crippling debt. In the face of such fear-inducing news in the middle of the Great Depression, how does mom respond? What does mom do first? Leo's mom quietly goes out, sells a few pieces of jewelry, and procures the makings of a great feast, which she prepares and serves to the family that very night. Now, when the relatives hear about this, they're not so impressed. They severely criticize mom for the waste. How can you possibly spend all that on a feast when you've just lost everything? But mom responded, "The time for joy is now, when we need it most." Now, Professor Leo makes clear in his memoirs, mom wasn't in denial. She wasn't in some fantasy realm in which all was rosy. She knew what was going on, but she did it to set a tone. She was saying, in the face of devastation, our family can still find joy and love in what we do have. She was setting the tone for rebuilding the family's means of survival, setting a tone of faith and setting a tone of optimism. Some of the relatives mockingly referred to this feast as her misery dinner. But Leo remembers his father always calling it mom's joy dinner. Mom's joy dinner, because the time for joy was now when they needed it most. And over the next couple of years, when things were really bleak, and they were, the family found inspiration and they found resilience in the remembrance of mom's joy dinner and the tone it had set for the family in the face of unspeakable betrayal and struggle. Now today, on this glorious feast of Palm Sunday, our Lord's triumphant entry into Jerusalem, Caitlin just read for us those timeless words from the Apostle Paul. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." We hear these famous words every year on Palm Sunday. Rejoice in the Lord always. It's an interesting commandment to be told to rejoice. I mean, isn't rejoicing something that just kind of happens when things are going well? Can a person choose to rejoice? Well, we read this passage on Palm Sunday in part because the day is truly a celebration in itself. Jesus went to the tomb of his friend Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, and he tells the people, "Roll away the stone." Like Leo's relatives thought of his mother's so-called misery dinner, most of the bystanders probably thought Jesus was crazy. Roll away the stone? Even St. Martha, Lazarus' sister, questions this move, saying, "Lord, it's been 4 days. There's going to be a stench." And Jesus says in reply, he says, "This is not about the pain you're going through. This is not even about death. This is about the glory of God in the face of pain and in the face of grief and in the face of death. This is about the victory of love and joy in the face of the worst that this world sees. And as we know, Jesus then raises Lazarus from the dead. And the next day, he enters the holy city of Jerusalem with a multitude yelling, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And they take palm branches, and they take their cloaks, and they lay them on the roadway. And the children start singing to Jesus, both on the road and later that day in the temple. Now, this pair of events is worthy of all joy in itself. It's that one window where the world, at least for a moment, sees Jesus for who Jesus is. So if these events inspire joy in themselves, why does rejoice in the Lord always have to be a commandment? It's because Jesus knows something the crowds don't. This week will turn very dark very quickly. In 5 short days, the cries of Hosanna will be replaced by different cries. Crucify him. Let him die on the cross. The command to rejoice in the Lord always is setting the tone for those days, those months, when life is not so easy, when betrayal and poverty, when illness and even death rear their ugly heads and envelop a person, a family, a community. What the Apostle Paul is saying is the same thing Leo's mother insisted when she served Mom's joy dinner. The time for joy is now, when we need it the most. And today Jesus gives his disciples, today Jesus gives us the foretaste of victory in spite of the burden of the cross that is to come, the hope and the joy we need to make it through the darkness that has yet to envelop us, that in Christ there is always a thread, a cord of divine joy, no matter the crosses that we bear. We have joy because of the eternal love of God. We have joy because the power and the comfort of the Holy Spirit lives within each of us. And joy focuses on who God is. Joy focuses on what God is doing. Joy focuses in whom God dwells, and that whom is you. Joy focuses on the God dwelling within you. I mean, when Paul wrote the words, "Rejoice in the Lord always," he wasn't lounging on a tropical beach with a pina colada in hand and ukulele music in the background. He was rotting in a Roman prison, which, if you read any history, was not very pleasant. He was awaiting execution he knew was days away. And he still wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always." He was able to rejoice in those circumstances because of the divine love and joy of God that was greater than any of his sufferings that he was enduring and facing. And because the time for joy was now, when Paul needed it the most. Jesus knows he's going to the cross. On Palm Sunday, Jesus gives the disciples and gives us the divine love and the divine joy we need to make it through the darkness that is to come. When Leo Buscaglia's dad brought home devastating news in the midst of the Great Depression, Leo's mother prepared Mom's joy dinner to set the tone of faith in their rebuilding. Because in the face of darkness, the time for joy is now, when we need it the most. Amen.
Amen.